In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know who you are? Recent weeks of reading, listening, and watching everything that has been going on around us has led me to realize just how many people are asking themselves this question right now. Many people have had more time on their hands in recent months than they remember having in most of their adult lives. I have seen that this quieter time has led many to think more deeply about who they are and where their lives are at. That effort is always a good thing. The unrest and national conversation of the last few weeks should have everyone paying attention and doing a little soul searching regarding who they are in reflection on the issues in play. But what an equally important question we each should be asking ourselves often is, what am I? How we answer that question in our own minds will be vital to our relationships with those around us. Even more importantly, how we answer that question may well be eternity-changing vital to our relationship with our Savior God. No matter what may be swirling around us on a daily basis, at the core of our Christian lives is the reality that the eternal God knows, sees, hears every last thing we say, think, and do. There will be no fooling him, no matter how advanced we may have become in pulling the wool over the eyes of the many people we share our lives with. The reality is most of them really also know what we truly are. They just don't call us on it for a whole host of reasons. We will never truly find the centering peace our hearts yearn for until we honestly answer, what am I? And work the answer through to a resolution. The disciple and apostle Matthew was a man who clearly came to terms with what he was. How quickly that happened, we can't really know. What we do know is that one day Jesus arrived at his place of work, knowing full well what Matthew was. Everyone in that village knew exactly what Matthew was. Many hated him for it. Most everyone looked down on him for it. But when Jesus walked up to his booth and said, "Follow me," Matthew immediately got up. He dropped every last thing in that very moment and followed Jesus. He followed Jesus wherever Jesus led. Matthew followed Jesus for the rest of his life. He followed Jesus straight into eternity. Matthew followed Jesus as much as anything because Jesus was the only one who could change what Matthew was. The gospel for today, while quite brief, lays that out for us. Let's refresh our memories by reading it again. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Those last two verses are where it's all laid out for us. Jesus was pushing back against a very prevalent misperception that existed then and still clearly exists to this very day. Jesus told the protesters, in essence, "I have come to help those who are ready to admit what they are. Only those who understand honestly what they are will be ready for the mercy and forgiveness I offer them." Matthew was ready. Matthew knew he was a sinner. Matthew knew Everyone thought of him as a terrible sinner. Matthew knew Jesus was not insulting him when Jesus referred to him as sick, but was just being honest, being real. Matthew had been led by the events of his life, by the treatment of others continuously judging him, and by the law of God he heard and read from the Scriptures to see himself as broken, sinful, unfit for a relationship with God. But let's take a more reflective look at how that likely played out in Matthew's life up to that moment Jesus stood at his booth. We are never told that Matthew had a problem with greed the way we are told that Judas did. But we know enough about the process of tax collecting for the Roman government at the time of Jesus that we know Matthew was not a poor man. Matthew was also a man who would have been viewed as a traitor by almost everyone he encountered on a daily basis. How did the Romans convince native citizens of the countries they occupied to make themselves pariahs against their own people by collecting oppressive taxes from their own clans and families, from their neighbors, from anyone the law allowed? By letting each tax collector decide for himself what rate he would charge. The tax collector was the only one who knew the tax rate the Roman governor set for the tax collector's submissions to the emperor's treasury. So the local tax collector was free to tax at any level he could manage. He was then allowed to keep everything for his own tax-free use that he collected that was above and beyond what he had to turn in. And tax collectors were given the muscle of the Roman military presence to get their tax collections accomplished. So Matthew likely had enough money, a nice enough place to live, and enough conveniences and comforts of life to make all the unpleasantness of, quite literally, everyone in his world looking down on him bearable. Compare that to the lives we live each day. What role do the comforts and conveniences of life play in anesthetizing us against the way people see us and think about us? How often are we tempted to comfort ourselves or console our hurting hearts when someone has made it clear they have no use for us with thoughts of, well, but look at the house I get to live in. Look at the car I get to drive. Look at the good job I have. Look at the RV, the boat, the season tickets, the summer house on the lake. Whatever you and I might be tempted to use for soothing ourselves in such moments, you and I need to recognize how easy the temptation becomes to take the focus off the honesty necessary to know what we really are in those moments. You and I will always be tempted to see ourselves the way we want to be seen instead of the way we really are, the way God sees we are and knows we are. The Pharisees portrayed in these verses were also playing a dishonest game that many Christians are continuously tempted to play. They looked down on anyone they deemed more observably sinful than they thought they were. They distanced themselves from those sinners and made sure everyone knew that not only would they never be anything like that sinner, but would always look down on them as unsuitable even for interaction. They were drawing lines Jesus would never draw. Jesus knew he was the only perfect person to ever walk this earth. Therefore, while Jesus could have looked down on everyone, he didn't look down on anyone. That's because he clearly knew the specific facts of how every single person who crossed his path was equally broken. We need to drill down on that a bit, on that word equally, for a moment. As Christians, we're tempted to balk at that concept as much as the Pharisees did. We like to push back with points like, but I've never been in jail. I've never cheated on my spouse. I've never been addicted to anything. I never use that kind of language. I've never questioned my gender. I've never rebelled against authority. We could make that list as long as we need to include a suggestion from every single person listening. But we don't need to, because the point has been made in the gospel lesson. Every single person in the world has the ability to look down on someone and see that individual or group of people as more broken and deserving of judgment than them. But that misses the whole point. God knows each of us down to the darkest depths of our hearts. God makes it clear in His Word that our thoughts and attitudes, even the ones that might never, ever make an outward appearance in our lives, make us just as guilty of any sin that any other person might openly commit. And pride, like the Pharisees' pride in these verses, is just as damning a sin as any other sin that can be committed. And pride becomes the sin that so often dooms those who think they are good enough to God, so that they overlook the simple truth that mercy and grace from God is a gift that will never, ever be earned. Matthew had learned that from Jesus. All the other tax collectors and sinners gathered to eat and fellowship with Jesus and his disciples that evening at Matthew's house also either had learned that from Jesus or were in the process of learning it from Jesus. It is a core truth of this gospel lesson. When you follow Jesus and listen to everything he says and listen honestly, you find your way to truth about yourself. Jesus desires to lead you to see yourself as broken as he knows you are. Jesus also desires to lead you to see yourself as broken as every single other person that will ever enter your life. Jesus wants you to follow him wherever he leads you, to learn from him how to show compassion and mercy for every other broken person walking this world with you. It may even lead you to sit down at a meal with those seen as tax collectors and sinners by today's cultural measurements. When you follow Jesus and listen to everything he says, you will learn that Jesus sees you as a precious soul for whom he has died to pay for every sin, every element of your brokenness. You will learn that he sees every soul as that precious, no matter where they have been and no matter what they have done. Jesus desires to lead you away entirely from continually measuring yourself and others. He only wants you to measure the depth of his unconditional love and acceptance of you and everyone else. Jesus desires to lead you to complete reliance on his saving work for you as the only answer to your sin. He desires to lead you to be willing to offer to everyone else the saving work of Jesus as the only answer for their sins too. Jesus desires to lead you to want to give your life back to him as a thank offering, gladly obeying his word and his will, because you truly know that what his love means for you today and forever. Matthew's reaction to Jesus standing in front of him that day will always present a challenge to any of us reading it. Simply dropping everything to follow Jesus anywhere for whatever purpose he is making clear often seems just too big a leap for any of us. But the way Matthew is placed before us today in this lesson is meant to offer him as someone we identify with, as someone just like us. Matthew was a sinner who had tried to quiet his mind, his heart, and his conscience with the things within his reach, but failed. Matthew was a sinner who, when Jesus called him, heard in Jesus' voice and compassionate words the answers his heart had long been seeking. We see, we know what following Jesus meant for Matthew. We also get to see what following Jesus meant for Matthew's lowlife friends. Every one of them is urging you from the pages of this gospel lesson today, simply follow Jesus wherever he leads you. Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.